Merry Christmas and welcome to Hillsong Church. We're so glad that you're spending Christmas Eve with us. I know a lot of the people who are in our church from Sunday to Sunday are visiting family elsewhere, and those of you who are here have family with you visiting, some who are here for the first time, so we're really glad you're with us, and we welcome you. We are happy and excited to have children in the worship service. I only draw the line at fire. When they get close to the fire, then I have to step in. Because those stories that you tell about the candlelight service, where someone's hair caught on fire or something caught on fire, those are great stories to look back on. But when you live through them, there's much nervousness. So hopefully everybody has a candle, because you will be possessing the light at the end of the service when we turn the lights off and sing Silent Night by candlelight. If you have a child with you, I don't have any problem with the child handling a candle, a lit candle, as long as you are handling the child. So that's what we're doing. But first we're going to look in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and then 14 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak now in this time. Speak through the Word. Speak to us through this time of worship as we re-enter the story that we read every year at this time. And I pray that we would hear you saying new things to us as we hear the familiar story. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we did look at the Gospel of John, but all the action happens in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 specifically. In Luke chapter 1, an angel comes to the priest Zechariah when it's his turn in the rotation to do the annual sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And so he goes in to atone for the sins of Israel. And in that moment, it's supposed to be a high holy day, a day of worship. And just like us here tonight, the Jewish people at that time believed they were reaching to God, and yet Zechariah was quite shocked when an angel actually showed up and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth, who was past menopause, would have a son. They were going to have a child. They were childless. And miraculous, it happens. That baby grows up to be John the Baptist, the prophet who prepares the way for the Messiah, Jesus. Zechariah's wife, who had the miracle pregnancy, Elizabeth, the mother of John, is also the cousin of a young betrothed woman, not barely more than a girl, named Mary. Mary was engaged to wed Joseph, but they had not yet been together. She was a virgin, and an angel comes to her to tell her that she is going to have a son. Before her marriage, before intimacy with her betrothed, a boy child is coming. Another miracle. Newly pregnant, she journeys to see her cousin Elizabeth, who is further along in the pregnancy. Elizabeth's baby, still in the womb, leaps with glee at the approach of the mother of the Lord. Luke chapter 1 is full of encounters with angels and promises and miracle pregnancies and people who respond to this overwhelming news, first with surprise, but then with songs of worship and joy. And then we flip over to Luke chapter 2, which describes the actual birth of Jesus, and the narrative is prosaic. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. If anything, Luke's description of the birth is understated. Movies depicting this story are more dramatic than the actual biblical account. There's a film that came out a few years ago, The Nativity Story. I think it's a wonderful Christmas movie. It depicts an exhausting, harrowing journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem for Joseph and Mary. In one scene, Joseph is guiding the donkey ridden by Mary, who's pregnant, and they have to forge a waist-deep, cold river that's running very quickly. As water beats against them and Joseph tries to find his footing on the rocky riverbed, Mary sees a large poisonous snake slithering through the river toward them. Well, the donkey that she's riding bucks. She is thrown into the water, and without hesitating, Joseph jumps after her. First, he grabs the snake and flings it away, and then he picks her up and heroically carries his pregnant wife out of the cold water. Then he goes back in the water, retrieves the beast of burden so they can continue the journey. And that might have happened. I mean, Hollywood gives us that, but it might have gone that way. Or there may have been other perils on their journey. You walk 12 or 13 miles a day for 3 or 4 days in that time. You're going to come across things. Luke doesn't give us any of those details. He just tells us there was a registration, and the registration means there's going to be a tax imposed by the imperial overlords, Rome. Rome says move, and you move. Like every other beleaguered Israelite, Joseph had to comply with the census by returning to the village of his birth. Though it might not have seemed wise, he took his pregnant wife with him. They made the long walk. Thus Jesus, the Messiah, was born in the city of David, as prophecy said he would be. Luke's narrative of the actual birth is void of drama. The action picks back up in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, where an angel terrifies a group of shepherds. The divine messenger, that's what an angel is. That's what angel means in Greek, messenger. The divine messenger begins, "Do not be afraid." And then he tells the shepherds, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Messiah, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That angel is then joined by a multitude. Hundreds, thousands, angel song fills the night sky. God is praised. And when they finish, the shepherds run to Bethlehem, waking up everyone until they finally find the stable where a baby was born. Right away, these men know they have found the one the angels were singing about. Mary, in her heart, realizes that she is right at the center of the biggest story in the history of the world. I imagine Luke, the gospel writer, who comes on the scene himself in the story much later on, after the resurrection, I imagine that he knew Mary years later as she was old, after all these events had taken place, and I imagined him having long conversations with her as she recalls all this, and Luke writing it down and then putting it into his gospel after she had died. Either he knew her, or he spent a lot of time talking to people who knew her quite well. He was able to tell us her inner thoughts as she went through all this, how she quietly rejoiced in her heart, treasuring all that took place. There's nothing quiet about those shepherds who came. They thunder into the sleeping village looking for the baby. Once they find him, they thunder through the village, waking everyone up to tell them what has happened. Then they run back out to the field, the pasture. They're out on the hillside, which was recently filled with angel song. Now that same pasture is filled with the voices of the shepherds as they praise God. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is where the action is. That's where you find these stories. Chapter 1, chapter 2. Much of what we think of as the biblical Christmas story comes in Luke. Matthew doesn't have any of this. In the Gospel of Matthew, the angel visits Joseph in a dream. Matthew's not concerned with why Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. He just puts them there. Matthew doesn't mention a stable at all. Matthew tells us that the angel convinced Joseph to stay with Mary, even though she was pregnant before they got married, and he had nothing to do with it. Luke doesn't tell us anything about visitors from the east. The wise men, the magi, are only in Matthew. And by the time they arrive, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus are out of the stable and into a house. Jesus is probably closer to a year and a half, 2 years old. The shepherds have long since exited stage right. Yes, we have our traditional nativity scene that we enjoy. It's a lovely tradition. My own family maintains it in our nativity scenes in our home. It's not biblically accurate, but that's okay, because it's storytelling. It's a tradition that blends the stories from Luke and Matthew. So, that's Matthew and Luke, where we get the biblical story of the birth of Jesus. Do not go to Mark's gospel looking for this story. In the gospel of Mark, Mark picks things up with Jesus being 30 years old, being baptized. John's gospel, the one that I read a moment ago, also does not mention the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, or angels visiting shepherds, or a virgin birth, or wise men from the east, from Persia, following a star. None of these aspects are in the of the story are in John. John gives us the theology that is underneath the story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing was made. This is the cosmic Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who in the incarnation becomes Jesus. He is the agent of creation. This picture of the cosmic Christ, which is also found in Colossians chapter 1, this is the opening of the Gospel of John. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God the Son always existed. In Jesus, God the Son came to earth in human form. John's initial way of referring to Jesus, God the Son, is the Word. He calls Jesus the Word. Chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's Son, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." No one has ever seen God. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, there John is using a little bit of hyperbole, because there are instances in the Old Testament when people who are familiar to you, if you've read the Old Testament, do have encounters where they, in some form or fashion, see God and survive the encounter. Abraham, Moses, and Elijah are a few in the Old Testament who have seen God and lived to tell about it. The parents of the mighty Samson are on the list. So are Noah and Enoch. The thing is, in all these cases, God makes a special appearance to a specific individual or a couple for a specific purpose. The purpose in the coming of Jesus was accessibility. God is available and accessible for all people. In Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ resurrected, the way to God is open for all people. With the ascension, reported in Acts chapter 1, Jesus departs the earth bodily, but The Holy Spirit remains as His lasting presence, God present in all places to all people all the time. Christmas is the story of God come to earth so you and I can know God, worship God, have forgiveness of sins, and follow God the rest of our lives. Luke gives the main story. Matthew fills in some details that we don't find in Luke. Luke gives us Mary's perspective. Matthew comes at it from Joseph's perspective. John lays out the theological significance of what God has done in Jesus. God is with us. God the Spirit active among us. As John's gospel winds down, we read in chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name." That's why John wrote his gospel, the way he wrote it, so that we could know God through Jesus Christ and have eternal life in Jesus' name. When we recognize the work of Christ among us, at work in the Spirit in our lives, and we see God active, then there are more signs performed that point the world to God. In other words, God did not stop creating new things at the close of the final book of the Bible. God continues to be on the move among us, active among us, creating new life every time someone turns to Christ in faith. God does this work through His church, and when His church is responsive to Him, in us, the story continues. A new year's about to begin. As we celebrate Christmas, remember the year that was, 2017. Look forward to new horizons. And as we take the next step in our lives, think about what it says in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Because there's a mistaken notion about Revelation that that book is all about heaven and the gospel is about going to heaven when we die. That's part of it. But listen to what Revelation actually says at the very end. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among women and men. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them.'" If the story tonight starts with the birth of Jesus, God come to earth, the Word made flesh, then the last act of the story, the book of Revelation, is the second coming of Jesus to us. He comes, we don't go. There's a Brad Paisley song that I really like when I get where I'm going. Sometimes I even shed a tear when I listen to it. I really like that song when I get where I'm going. But the biblical message is actually when Jesus gets where he's going. And where he's going is here. It's called the second coming. The end of the story is heaven made new, joined with earth made new. Christmas is the preview of the eternal joy we will have as sons and daughters of God living forever in God's presence. We step to that ending by putting our trust in Jesus, giving our lives to Him. We trust Him to remove our sins. We trust Him to rule our lives. His will for us is better than our own. The word gospel means good news. The good news is that in Christ, all sin is forgiven. All people are united in love and in a new community, the kingdom of God. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. If you've never given your heart to Christ, I encourage you to do that. And I'm happy to hang out afterwards to talk about it if you'd like to for a while, or if not tonight, then in upcoming days. If you have followed Christ, but lately your life has turned away from Him, He's ready to welcome you back with arms of love. Turn to Him tonight. That's what repentance is. turning back to the Lord. He's waiting to receive you. If you're walking with Christ already, then run into his arms as we worship tonight, because he's got new things in store for you too. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, may your word and the story of this night beat in us. May we feel the touch of the Holy Spirit as we worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.